Hi, my name is Amber Aga, and I'm a Reiki master and a shamanic practitioner. I've been healing and teaching now for probably a little over 8 years, and these podcasts are a chance to share what I've learnt along the way, not only through healing others and helping to teach others, but through my own healing journey as well. Today, I thought we would look at resistance and when resistance comes up in our healing journey. Resistance is a great friend if we can make a friend of it in our healing journey, because it will often indicate that we have reached a hot spot. We have reached a place of deep healing and deep woundedness. And what it shows us is that should we care to walk through that resistance, to push through it sometimes, that the rewards on the other side will be much greater than we could have imagined. In fact, the greater the resistance, the greater the rewards. Resistance happens for a number of reasons, and we shall look at that in this podcast. But first, I wanted to talk about how resistance comes up. What happens often is that at the beginning of our healing journey, we're incredibly inspired to heal, to make changes in our lives, to really shift those things that have caused us pain in some way, or that we feel may be blocking us from living the life that we feel we're here to live. So we have this enthusiasm, and we set up our appointments. We're going to go see our healer, or our healers. We're going to do the work if there's any work to be done, any rituals. We're going to go to the workshops, the events, the classes that may be required, and we're fired up in a sense. And this propels us, this inspires us and propels us and keeps us going throughout those first honeymoon stages of the healing period. And then kind of around the middle of a healing journey, and there are many journeys, it's not just one journey that we go on, but the middle of a particular healing journey, we'll start to that enthusiasm will start to wane, and suddenly the journey that to our healer or the workshop or the event or whatever that used to seem quite charming or we used to find quite relaxing, we now find really stressful, or we find that it's taking us too long to get there, or we don't have enough time to make the journey. We now find that the money that used to flow very easily to pay for the healing or the workshops, the event, whatever, is now in short supply, or somehow we feel resentful about paying this amount of money. We feel resentful perhaps about even spending this amount of time on our healing. We say, you know, I'm spending an hour on a healing every week, or 2 hours, or whatever it is, or I'm going to this workshop on a Saturday, and actually, I could spend that time on holiday. I could spend that time having a cup of tea with a friend, or getting my nails done, or going down the pub, and that would make me feel better. We somehow will start to find excuses to not do the work, to not go for the healing, to not go to the workshop. Because somehow it doesn't seem very appealing anymore. It's lost its edge. It's not as sexy. It's not as inspiring. And now that's often a really beautiful trick that resistance will play on us. Suddenly, everything else other than the healing will become the most exciting, inspiring, important thing that there is. And every distraction that could possibly arise will. And in fact, I would say the more you find that there are distractions to the thing that you initially wanted to do, i.e., the healing workshop, the healing class, the empowerment class. It's not just healing, it's anything that would empower you or transform your life in some way. The more distractions there are to that, the more reasons there are not to do it, then very often the more we should do it, the more it is something that would transform an aspect of our lives. Resistance will play itself out in many ways. The journey will become too exhausting or too long, or we just can't get there on time. If you're consistently turning up for your appointments late, And this applies to, you know, workshops as well. I mean, you know, workshops that run a couple of days, if you're consistently late during those days, even in breaks, if you're unable to do the work that may be set in between healing sessions, or unable to do the work that you might have needed to do to prepare for a workshop, if you're not doing the rituals that may have been asked for you, if you don't feel comfortable spending a certain amount of money, which say a month previous you did, and there has been no real change in your financial situation, you just suddenly don't feel comfortable spending that amount of money. If you start to resent the person who was your teacher or your healer, someone that you may have resonated with 3 weeks, 2 weeks previous, and now suddenly they don't seem so shiny to you, so palatable. These are all ways in which resistance can start to work its way into our healing journey. Basically, it's anything that's distracting us from that journey. Now, resistance comes up for a number of reasons, but primarily resistance, when it comes up, is showing us that we've hit a hot spot. And by a hot spot, I mean we've hit a really juicy wound. We've hit something that really truly in us needs healing, and it will most likely be something that we have suppressed or ignored for a very long time. So it's interesting to note the feelings that may start to come up when we're in resistance mode. If we start to feel angry, then it may be that we have suppressed a level of anger for a very long time, and now this anger is surfacing, and because it's been suppressed for such a long time, we don't really know where it's coming from or who to direct it towards or what to direct it towards. And so in a kind of default mode, we direct it towards the very thing that we were seeking in the first place, the healing, the empowerment, the healer or the teacher on that journey. If we've suppressed hopelessness or sadness for a long time, or a sense of being victimized, then these feelings will come up as well. We may feel victimized by other people in a workshop, or by a teacher or a healer, or we may feel hopeless during this healing journey. We may feel that we've lost all faith in the work actually working for us. Now, it's important at this stage just to say that there is a difference between resistance and between something genuinely not feeling right. And it's important to try and find what the differences are in that resonance for you. You know, sometimes something just authentically doesn't feel right. We just don't resonate with it, and it makes us feel uncomfortable. And it's important that we honor those feelings. But there is a difference between that and resistance. And so it will take a level of inner knowing, and also trial and error, to come to understand what your inner self is trying to communicate with you. Sometimes we may genuinely feel that we just don't resonate with the work or the person or the process, and so we walk away. And actually, in years to come, we may look back and say, I was in resistance mode. It wasn't that wasn't authentic work, or it wasn't that couldn't have empowered me. I just wasn't ready. I was too scared. And that's all right as well. But sometimes it's important that we push through resistance. Sometimes it's important that we find a way to flow through resistance and to make it our friend. And how will you know if it's resistance or that you just don't resonate with the work? Only you can answer that is the honest question. And you will know by trial and error, as I say. There will be times possibly that you will push through a level of resistance and then work out, actually, this wasn't resistance, this was, I just didn't resonate with the work. And then there might be other times when you don't push through the resistance and you look back and you say, that work would have been really great for me. Only you will start to come and know the workings of your inner world. And it's important to go through this process to start to understand the workings of your inner world and those guidance systems. And that's an interesting offshoot, actually, is what is your guidance system? You know, for some people, it's how it makes them feel in their gut. And for other people, it's how they feel in their heart, perhaps. Or your body will start to feel something. And for other people, it's just a deep knowing. You know, I know when I start to get a very a deep kind of sickness in my stomach, a real unease, that this really doesn't feel right on a deep level. And it isn't just that I'm nervous or I'm scared or I don't want to do it because I'm, you know, too tired or whatever. It's that it doesn't feel right on a really, really deep level. But it's taken me years to come to understand that guidance, that inner guidance in me. And there are no quick fixes for that. You know, that's what life's journey is all about. So resistance can come up in many ways, and often when it comes up, it's showing us that this is a hot spot. Now, why does resistance come up? Well, what I've come to understand in my own healing journey, and then from the journey as a healer, is that it comes up because there is a wounded part of us that is fearful of change. It also comes up because there is a wounded part of us that is so in pain that the resistance is an expression of that pain. Now, how do we deal with those two areas? Change is something that we will have been seeking if we sought out a healer or a system of teaching that was going to empower and heal us in some way. We are seeking change. And in fact, everything is always changing. Nothing remains the same. Nothing is truly stagnant. And if it is stagnant, it dies. Life cannot grow in it, really, true life. So change is a part of life. When we're fearing it, really we're fearing the unknown. So the deeper wound beneath that, it's not enough to say I fear change, is what is it exactly about fear that you fear? Often it's the unknown, but then we have to ask, well, what is it about the unknown that I fear? Do I fear that the unknown is something that will hurt me, or something that will let me down, or something that will abuse me on some level, something that will take advantage of me, something that will trick me? And that will be your own unique wound, in a sense. And then that sense of fear of change will be coming from an old story in us. So at some point in our lives, we were tricked in some way, or let down in some way, or abused in some way. And that's a core wound that wasn't healed over time. And because it wasn't healed, we now fear at that same level of intensity any change, and the same wound comes up. So in a healing journey, the resistance is often that wound being brought into the light almost. So by making friends with resistance, what I mean is we start to make friends with that wound rather than fall into the story of the wound and project onto our healers or onto the thing that we want to do or our teachers, well, you're going to let me down, you're going to abuse me, you can't be trusted. We start to go into that wound in ourselves and say, okay, this is my wound. I feel that I can't trust you, or I feel that I'm going to be let down in some way, or I feel that I'm going into the unknown and the unknown is going to hurt me. So we sit with that wound. We trace it back. When did the unknown hurt me? How old was I? How did I feel? What happened? Have I truly dealt with the events and the feelings around what happened? When in my life did I get tricked at such a profound level that it shook the very foundation of my belief system about life and about my inner knowing? And that's deep, deep inner healing work that we do when resistance comes up, when we truly engage with resistance. That's why it's so juicy. If we choose to turn our back on resistance and not really get underneath its skin, then we're losing a really valuable opportunity to understand why we are putting up barriers to the very thing that we were seeking in the first place. Now, resistance doesn't just come up in our healing journey. It comes up in all aspects of our lives. So the very same person, perhaps, who says is saying they're yearning for love, they want a relationship, suddenly they meet someone and they're being asked to be vulnerable and open, and all the walls come up, and games get played out. And that's because the resistance to truly being vulnerable, to truly being in a state of love, have come up. So we may have an idea of what it is that we seek. Oh, I seek love, I seek healing, I seek abundance, I seek prosperity, I seek fame, I seek success. But when that starts to come into our lives, often our resistance will show us our wounds around the very thing that we're seeking. And sometimes the very thing that we feel that we're forever seeking is often the deepest wound that we have yet to heal. If we're forever seeking love, then at some level, probably one of our deepest wounds will be around love. And it is worth exploring that. So resistance pops its head up, and it makes us late, or it tells us we don't have enough money, or it tells us this isn't working for us, or we just find ourselves angry. And rather than walk away from it, we go deeper into it and we try and find the wound behind it. And then through that, the journey of healing can really begin. Through that, we can really start to find our empowerment, and really start to heal that wound. And sometimes, you know, that resistance also, it helps to look at it as not only a wounded part of us, but a child part of us. Because often that wound will have occurred at quite a young age, especially with resistances and wounds that run deep. So it helps if we see that part of us that is resisting as an errant child, or, you know, and it helps to look at it like this. You know, if you had a child standing in front of you at a certain age, 5, 6, 8, 10, and they were stomping their feet or crying or screaming and saying they didn't want to do something, how would you speak with them? Would you force them kicking and screaming, or would you find a way to cajole them into it? Would you find a way to entice them into it, to sweeten it for them with love? And that's really how we handle ourselves on a healing journey, but actually on any journey where we face resistance. If we start to drag ourselves kicking and screaming, or we start to expect others to do that with us, it's like dragging a screaming child. It's going to be really hard work. But if we can find a way to communicate with ourselves, with love and compassion, then we'll make that journey a lot smoother for ourselves, and for others as well. And if we can view that part of ourselves as the wounded child, then we can have more patience as well and see that this is part of a process. Now, as I said, we don't always work through our resistances, and sometimes, you know, resistance gets in the way and we find ourselves back in that loop. And that loop is of starting something, hitting a wall, going back to where we came from. It's like a loop. And we will often hit it in relationships, in things, in projects that we pursue, and in our healing journey. And sometimes I have also learned we need to do that. We need to keep going around that loop until we eventually say enough is enough and I'm going to work through this. And that means really sitting in that space of woundedness, sitting in that space of resistance. I once had a healer who used to say to me, every time an emotion came up for me, if I felt incredibly sad or angry or hopeless after a healing session, he would say to me, I want you to sit in that emotion. And it used to drive me crazy. I had no idea what that meant. Why would I want to sit in the very place that I was choosing to escape from? The very reason I was seeing a healer was that I wouldn't feel these things anymore. And it's only just years and years later, being in the space of the healer myself, do I understand the wisdom of those words. That we do need to sit in that space, because no one can drag us out of that space or magic it away. We have to come to terms with all aspects of ourselves, the shadow aspects and the not so shadowy aspects, the parts that scream in pain and the parts that sing in joy. And when we come to make friends with all aspects of ourselves, then we find true integration and true wholeness. And then we find true empowerment, and no one can really impose that on us. It does come from us. Now, any healer or teacher is merely a guide on this journey. They can't and are not doing the work for us. They are holding the space for us to do the work. Along the way, they're giving us nuggets of their wisdom, because you can pretty much be sure that any healer that you see or teacher that you see will have been along a similarly difficult path of healing and inner work and inner enlightenment to get to where they are now, or they could not be doing the work that they're doing. They could not be holding the space for you. And I speak for authentic healers here, those and authentic teachers as well, those who've really devoted their lives to the work. So they hold the space for us, and they may give us a bit of guidance and help us with any potential pitfalls that may be along the way. They may offer us rituals or things that could assist us, but they can't go away and do the work for us. And they certainly don't sit there magicking it all away for us in between sessions or in between workshops or events. And that, I mean, that's another thing. I remember very early on in my healing journey, I really believed that my healer in between our healing sessions was doing, you know, little visualizations and a little bit of magic to make my life better. I mean, I really did believe that. I believed that I would come for a session, I would have my healing, and then I would go away, and I wouldn't really need to make any changes in my life. I might make a few, you know, the odd one for a few days, and then I would come back and everything would be better. And I think it took me a good 6 months to work out that that's just not how it works, because nothing was really massively changing. I mean, I would feel great after a healing, and then that would last for a couple of days, and then things would go back to the way they were before. And I didn't understand why. Why was I, you know, what was the point of seeing this healer and paying all this money if I wasn't getting better? And I didn't understand that there was only so much that a healer could do for me, and that I needed to go away and do the work so that any guidance that was shared with me, any changes that I needed to make in my life, I needed to make in my life. And that will often be the case. You know, our healing journeys they're not necessarily going to be the smoothest ones. We may well be asked to let go of things, to step into new experiences, to face old traumatic events, to stand up for ourselves, maybe, to be more humble, maybe, to open our hearts to love, maybe. I don't know, it'll be your journey. But that's why it's called a journey, you know, it keeps evolving and changing with us. So resistance can be a beautiful gateway into the work if we truly understand where it's coming from. If we see beyond the story, if we see beneath the illusion, if we see through the layers of what that resistance is, if we truly question it, if we truly sit with it and make friends with it, it can be the biggest blessing that we could ever have encountered on our healing journey. I hope that's helped a little bit in understanding, in my view, resistance and how it can crop up in our lives, but most especially when we seek to heal. If there's any other information that you would like or you care to, you can visit the website on www.sacredspacehealing.org. That's all one word, www.sacredspacehealing.org. There's some information there on resistance, on healing, and some guided meditations that may be able to assist with this as well. So until the next time, so it is so.